Welcome, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. This is very exciting. Coming up for us is the Literary Escape March Madness Book Edition. It's going to begin on Friday, March 1st. And this is just a fun battle of the books as readers vote for their favorite book titles each week until we have a final winner. And last year, Crystal Caudill's book, Counterfeit Love, won the March Madness tournament. And I cannot wait to see which book will be the winner in 2024. So be sure to sign up for our newsletter in order to participate in this year's Battle of the Books. I also wanted to take a moment to thank everyone for your words of encouragement. Last week, our Writers Wednesday episodes kicked off with a bang. Many of you reached out with words of encouragement, and I am so glad that this episode blessed you as an author. And I just wanted you to know that your words came at a time of doubt for me and were such a blessing. Our next Writers Wednesday episode will air next week. Author Liz Tolsma will share what deep point of view is and how to write it. It's a very enlightening episode. I found it very helpful. If you would like to have access to all of our Writers Wednesday episodes now, consider becoming a member of HCRW for just $37 a month. Our writers group provides training, support, and a network for authors of historical Christian romance. It is the only one of its kind. You can learn more and become a member by clicking the button below this blog post or by visiting literaryescape.com/HCRW. Have you ever wondered how to write flash fiction and why you should? Have you struggled through writing a synopsis or blurb for your novel and decided short form fiction is not for you? Join us for our next expert training on Thursday, March 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Author Abby Downey will share how authors can leverage the power of flash fiction to grow their author platform. This class will not only give tips and tricks to make writing the shortest stories easier, but will also show you why you should try and how flash fiction can help your writing career and marketing efforts. Now let's dive into this week's book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Escape podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. In this episode, Tiffany and Melissa will be discussing With This Pledge by Tamara Alexander. Elizabeth, or Lizzie, Clouston's quietly held principles oppose those of the Southern cause. But when 40,000 soldiers converge on the fields of Franklin, Tennessee, the war demands an answer. The Carton home, where she is governess, is converted into a Confederate field hospital, and Lizzie is called upon to assist the military doctor with surgeries that determine life or death. Faced with the unimaginable, she must summon fortitude even as she fears for the life of Townie, her fiancé and lifelong friend. As a young soldier lies dying in Lizzie's arms, she vows to relay his final words to his mother, but knows little more than the boy's first name. That same night, decorated Mississippi sharpshooter Captain Roland Ward Jones extracts a different promise from Lizzie, that she intervene should the surgeon decide to amputate his leg. Lizzie is nothing if not a woman of her word, earning the soldier's respect as she tends to the wounded within Carton's walls. None is more admiring than Captain Jones, who doesn't realize she is pledged to another. But as Lizzie's heart softens towards the Confederate captain, she discovers that his moral ground is at odds with her own. Now torn between love, principles, and promises made, she struggles to be true to her heart while standing for what she knows is right, no matter the cost. This is from the pages of history and the personal accounts of those who endured the Battle of Franklin. Tamara Alexander weaves the real-life love letters between Captain Roland Ward Jones and Miss Elizabeth Clouston into a story of unlikely romance first kindled amid the shadows of war. I think that's what I loved most about this book. I think when I read her note, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on in our discussion, but every person in this book, except for two characters, were real and based on real accounts that she had interviewing like family members and looking at the letters and the artifacts. So I think that really just made me love this so much more. Like, this is someone's real story, like put on paper. Anyways, so let's just start at the beginning. It's kind of an odd when you, like, she's the governess, for the McGavick's children, and she's teaching, and
just
basically it's a normal day, and then all of a sudden a soldier barges in, goes up, looks at the balcony, and she's like, "Sir, can I help you? Can I help you?" He never says a word to her. She looks out and she sees the Union Army basically has taken over the plantation next to, I don't know if you want to say plantation, but the farm next to them. And have set up this wall of cannons, basically. And then just like that, their life, everything normal, gone. So how did you handle the descriptions of the wounds and the surgeries?
It was a lot. I wrote. It was a lot. And I think the detail that she went into and like the grape shot wounds and the amputations, I mean, was amazing. But it was a lot.
And that's coming from you, a nurse.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It, just because, you know, today's surgeries are so much different. But she was describing it as like they're standing in pools of blood. And this, I can't imagine the smell and, you know, but she did a great job putting you in that moment. But it was a lot to handle.
I agree. And did you feel like at one point, like, is this ever going to end?
Yes. But it had only been a couple hours, but it's still the way they were saying the limbs were piling up by the trees. And, you know, it felt like it had been days of surgeries, but it wasn't. It was just quick. And I just think of all the infection and disease too that was going on, because these aren't sterile fields. They're just doing what they could, and the horse, I get the horse hairs were boiled and stuff, but some of that stuff I was like, wow, ripping bed sheets and
clothes,
just things that, again, we take for granted in today's medical field that they didn't have. And especially in that moment when it was just right at their door, what do you do? But they were inventive and they did a great job of doing what they could and making those soldiers better. Trying a little bit to save them.
And they had, like, for her, she spent most of her time, they set Winder's room up as like a surgery room, basically. And they just took his door off his bedroom and used that as the surgery table.
Yeah. And that's crazy.
In that she had like up to 6 inches up on the hem of her dress was soaked in blood.
Yeah.
And that later on, they could see the outline of the doctor's shoes on the floor because of all the blood that had pooled around and dried in the floor around them. And like that continues in the series where they try to scrub the blood out. And apparently, if you go visit now, you can still see the blood stains on the floor. Like they're still
present
there, which just gives you chills because it was real, like so crazy. But yeah, the horse hairs, the cutting the tail, just to have thread to do stitches, I was like, you okay?
I'm surprised you like this one because it's really a little crazy for you.
I will say I had to pause several times because I'm like, I just don't know. I can't really explain why. I feel like I should be a stronger person than that. But like blood and seeing someone in pain or being told about it, like even if someone's like, oh yeah, the needle was like this big and, you know, injections or anything like that, I struggle not to faint.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's like. It's like I can't handle knowing the intense pain that they're in or that they were in. Like, it's like I internalize it and I start getting all...
Is empathy?
I guess. You know, I start getting all tingly and I'm like, oh, oh. And then I'm like, I have to stop. I have to sit down. Like, I can't even handle it. They had me get trained for stop the bleed training for work because you have to have like so many people.
Right.
Our nurse at the time. In the training, they're just talking about there's it's probably a big gash. You need to get in there, fill that warm spot, pinch it off, you know, all this stuff. I don't know. You know more than I do. I can't hardly remember it. I remember like as I was sitting there, I went like this. I started like lean over and the nurse was like, you're going to be okay. You should train someone else. Do not call me. I cannot do this. And she goes, oh, honey, in the moment, you'll do it. I said, you know what will happen? You're going to have your bleeding patient on the floor and I'm going to be passed out right next to him. My thing is just like, I can't stand for people to be in pain.
Pain.
So there's no way I would have survived. I guess I probably would have bucked up and done it, but.
That's what you got to do.
She was tough. She went hours working on thrust into that. So what did you think of the reunion between Lizzie and Townie? Okay, I will tell you. Let me read a little bit because he took hold. It's after the battle and she's realized that, oh, Townie's unit was actually out here on the battlefield. So she goes out and tries to find him. She's slipping on the blood because the ground is so soaked, right? She finds him. He's fine. He just has like a minor wound and whatnot. And he took hold of her hand. I've thought of you so much during these last months, Lizzie Beth. You're what keeps me going. I'm so eager to get back here to start our life together as man and wife. Then she's kind of like, because she's starting to realize I don't love him that way. I love him as a friend. Like we've been good friends. But I don't have like romantic love feelings. And he's like, are you okay? Like she's not responding. Oh, yeah. You know, and he just tells her how much he loves her and everything. And then Lizzie's feeling like horrible. Because
she feels like she should be feeling something else.
Right. And she keeps saying, well, those romantic feelings will come. They'll come. Yeah. It's just we started with friendship. It'll grow. I felt bad for both of them because he knows something isn't right and he's in love with her and she doesn't want to hurt him, but she knows she'll never love him that way. And I have to admit at that moment, I closed the book and I was like, Derek, I'm not liking this because I don't want Townie to get hurt, but she can't be with Townie. She has to be with
Captain. At one point, I thought the author was going to make him die just so that she would. I thought that was going to happen.
I thought so, too.
That was the only way I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm glad it did it.
I like how it ended.
I did. Yes. I did. I liked it, but
Oh, goodness. Okay, I'm glad you felt the same way because I was like, no, now I want her to be with both men and it can't happen. Okay, so, you know, once they're there, the battle goes south for the South. Right. And every soldier left at Carton to recover from their injuries or anywhere in Franklin, actually recovering, become prisoners. So they work hard to keep it that they don't have to go to the actual Union prison, that they can stay there and heal. And then once they're healed enough to travel, then they'll go to the prison. Right. So what did you think of, they put Lizzie in a spot, the captain did not like it, did not want her in this position, but basically because she had assisted with the majority of the surgeries there, they said they wanted her to talk to the general, that Union general that came in and convinced the general basically to let them stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of General Folsom and Dr. Nichols? Because the Folsom, he was like, he stared, his gaze appraising. Are you quite finished, Miss Clouston? Registering the inclination to look away, she nodded. Yes, sir, I am. Good. Now, if you'll be so kind as to help these men pack up and... Then that's when Dr. Nichols, who's a Union doctor...
Yes.
...said, sir, I think it's measles.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah. basically, Folsom was treating her like crud. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just really rude about everything. And then he's like, well, Miss Clawson, looks like you'll be keeping these men after all, although I very much doubt you'll be as eager to tend them now. Because they're like...
measles.
It's measles.
Measles are bad.
Right? Yeah. So then as the general leaves the room, then Dr. Nichols is like, Miss Clawson, I trust you've had experience with this illness before and will know what to watch for and how to treat it. And she says, yes. He goes, I also trust you're aware that measles can be misdiagnosed on occasion. Certain rashes and skin irritations often masquerade as this disease. A misdiagnosis can happen to any doctor, no matter his experience. He's like, hint, hint.
Right.
Or which army he serves. Does that make sense to you, ma'am?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God really brought that man in to protect those guys.
Yes.
Didn't he? I loved it.
Because at first I was like, oh, no, all the children, everything they just went through. And now they're going to have the measles on top of it. Mm-hmm. And where's the story going? And then I was like, oh, that was a good doctor.
Yeah. I thought, he was an amazing doctor. I thought. General Folsom was a jerk who gave Yankees a bad name. But I love Dr. Nichols and the compassion and mercy he showed the wounded Confederate soldiers. Like, he didn't care. Yes, I'm serving the Union Army, but these are men. These are my brothers.
These are humans.
And I will do what I can to help them. Because if they would have moved them, then so many of them would have died.
Oh.
Because their injuries were so severe. What did you think about the reminder on page 176 and 177? So I loved the nuns that came in to help.
Yes,
Sister Catherine. I loved her. I love Sister Catherine. But he has this conversation with her about, she said, for those who are in Christ Jesus, the best is always yet to come. And then she talks a little bit more about how, sometimes life on this side of the veil is far more difficult than I think it should be, especially for those of us who belong to God. But then again, his promises did not eliminate suffering. I liked that conversation between them because it's so true that we as believers can live with hope and optimism that the best is yet to come. Like, constantly our pastor is saying, this isn't home.
Yeah.
We're visitors here.
Yeah.
And home is amazing.
Yes.
And that I never thought of it that way. God's promises do not eliminate suffering. And we have to trust that God knows best. And when we question what he's allowed, we know he can handle it and he still loves us. I've questioned him on things that have happened. Like, seriously, why did you allow this?
Right. Because the best is yet to come.
That's right. That's right. And something good always comes out of it.
It does. Yes.
Always
Even
comes out of it.
Even if we can't see it. Necessarily mm-hmm. in the moment or 5-10 years, down the road. I think it might even skip a generation.
Yeah.
But something good does come out of it.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I agree. Totally. Totally. And then what did you think of Thaddeus's letter? So Thaddeus, mm-hmm. am I saying that right? Thaddeus? Yeah. Thaddeus.
Thaddeus. I said it.
Was the young man that died in her arms.
The letters was kind of a mystery to me at first. Mm-hmm. And I thought it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to lead to like a treasure hunt or like, I don't know why. I just thought these letters or like a treasure hunt or a love, long lost love. How it ended was so sad yet mm-hmm. happy at the same time.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see the letters bring those two together more.
Yes.
How they weave together.
Her and the captain work together to try to find who is this boy and how do we get these letters back to his mom.
And that she fulfilled her promise. So.
Yeah. I cried so much when I read this, and maybe that's why I loved it so much. It's just ridiculous. I'm not really a crier, but I'd be like, don't look at me, Derek. I'm crying. But I cried for the boy who wanted to grow up to be a better man, a good husband, and a good father. You know the list that he made. I want to be better at, and I want to be the best dad and the best husband and all this. Because he died before he had the chance to become an amazing man of God. And I heard this speech in the Veterans Day video we played for the kids this year. I think it was Ronald Reagan speaking, but I'm not really sure which president, who it was, but basically, in a nutshell, he said, our men who lost their lives on the battlefield gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they had yet had the chance to live. Mm. And this scene just really brought me back to that. And I'm like, it really makes you that much more grateful for the men who have gone before us and are fighting now and will fight in the future to protect our freedom. Because they do. They give up their current life, because basically when you go into the armed services, you do whatever they tell you to do, right? It's not like us where we're like, hey, I want to go shopping today. Or, you know, you know what I mean? But we get to enjoy those freedoms because of their sacrifice. So she just wrote such beautiful, intense scenes that I think really captivate her readers. But I also loved this message that she wove in. It's like starts on 200 and then comes back up on 207 about when you lose someone you love, which there was a lot of loss in this, right? And then how we have nothing to fear and that our prayers, what did they say? Something, are not deathless. Something to that effect. I can't remember. She said something like, see if I can find it. Like, our prayers continue on after we die. They are still effective.
That's what it was. Yeah, I think that's how, when I was talking about the generations, how it moves forward in the generation.
That's what it was.
Even your grandparents were praying for you when you were little.
And those prayers continue. Yes. She says, our prayers are deathless, Captain Jones. They outlive the lives of those who utter them. I've heard that too. There's no expiration date.
On the prayers.
And I like how she talks about, because there is a lot of death. I'm glad that she addressed this too. Like, it hurts, period. Like, there's no way around that. However, when we draw near to God, his love and peace are like a salve on our wounds.
A salve.
Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah. I can read well today. Plus, we have the assurance that we will see our loved ones again. Such a blessing that we to know we won't be separated. I think because Mrs. McGavick was talking to Lizzie, because she was struggling with this whole death, a lot of death around him.
Yeah.
And she discovered that Mrs. McGavick had lost children as well. So she was just asking, how do you handle all that? So it was good. It was good. So how do you react, or how did you? Oh, okay. You're laughing already. Yeah. So there's this jerkwad. That's what I'm going to call him.
Jerkwad.
Jerkwad Taylor at the Carton Mansion, recovering from his own wounds. Who?
He's a rebel, true and true.
He is a rebel, true and true. He was one fighting for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, he was just a real jerk.
And he refused to give it up.
Yes. And he's in the same room as the captain. He really does not like the captain. And the captain has a man who has been his, what do you call it, a manservant?
Yeah, I think that's what she calls him, a manservant.
His whole life. Like, okay, he was in the South, so obviously this kid was a gift to him from his father, which we were all, like, appalled by.
Right. I was like, right?
And he comes to be with the captain to help him while he's recovering. And then this Taylor guy just says the most horrendous things to them, to that man. And captain was like, I want you to go downstairs, because he really cared for him as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Sister Catherine, she comes in here. She's like, what is going on in here? And Roland looked over to see Sister Catherine Margaret standing in the doorway, hands on hips, staring Taylor down. Lieutenant Taylor, I have not heard that kind of filth uttered since before I married my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then I only heard it from ignorant, spiteful hate mongers who could scarcely lace up their boots, much less understand their own dull wittedness and idiocy. And I will certainly not tolerate that kind of talk in the house of a Christian man to whom you are indebted for your entire sustenance and physical well-being. And then he tries to, like, fight back with her, right? And she's said, if you continue, I will personally remove you from this house and let you fend for yourself out in the cold. Do you understand me? Yeah. I mean, she just lays down the law.
Yeah.
He keeps trying to play his case. And so he starts to like say dirty things again. So she picks him up and starts dragging him out of the room. And then he says, "Let go of me, you fat." And she drops him. And then he's like, because he's having a lot of pain from his own stuff. It doesn't say what she did. It just says she bent low over him and said something back. Oh, it's what I said. Taylor fell backwards, smacking his head on the floor. And then she bent over so close no one could tell what she said. And after that, he kept his mouth
shut.
What did you think?
It was hilarious.
Can you just picture it?
I'm like, good for her. I love it. I love it. It reminded me of the nuns from that other book we read. I'm trying to think of the story that where he comes out in the sheet right at the beginning. The cowboy book. And then the sister nuns are like, stay away from that one. Or
like Silver Lining Ranch.
Yes.
Yeah, the nuns are like, you stay away from that boy.
The nuns are hilarious in these books.
They are funny. Oh, I loved it. And then Colonel McGavick put Taylor in his place later on. Because, that boy just can't keep his mouth shut. He really is an idiot. And he does something later on that makes him even more of an idiot.
Well, he knew he was going to be trouble tailored.
Yeah. Well, the colonel, it's his house, right?
Right.
And he said, he's landed into him and he said, do you understand? He goes, good, because the next time I hear such words issuing from your mouth, I will personally deliver you to the federal prison in Nashville. Same for any other soldier here who speaks in such a manner. I can tolerate a great many things, but lack of respect for our creator and his hand in our lives is not one of them, especially from someone who's enjoying the bounty from my table and finding shelter in my family's bedchambers.
I was proud of him.
Ah.
This needed to be said. You need to be a little more grateful for where you are and knock it off.
And I think there's something to be said for a man putting another man in this place. Yeah. Like, sister, she did a great job. I was like, go, girl. But
yeah,
having a man put him in his place, the boy still didn't learn. But I love also too how the colonel demands respect for God.
Yeah,
it's something we're missing in society today. Really, we used to really revere him, and that's gone, unfortunately. How did you react to? Now I'm not going to say the name.
Okay, because
of the person,
I didn't believe it when I was reading these things, these questions that you had as I'm trying to read the book. And
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Because he was doing so good and he was such a beloved character. And so then it was so sad.
I know.
It was, especially for Little Winder, I was like, my heart broke.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, no.
I know.
But again, I was glad it was quick and, you know, it did go relatively fast.
Did you like how she... like, I cried. It's hard to even look at the words on the page and not cry even now. But he's like, she pretends to be his mom because basically he says, I'm so tired of hurting mama. And I was like, oh my goodness. And he's like, you're here. And she says, of course I'm here. He's like, just like you promised. And they just go through this little conversation. Oh, yeah. Does it hurt much? Dying.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no, it doesn't hurt at all. She's just pretending to be his mom because his mom and brother died before him.
Yeah.
That's right. Because I'm good because I'm tired of hurting mama. That's where it was.
Yeah.
Then she tells him it's time to go home. Yeah. It's so sweet. I was like, oh my gosh. I remember reading this. It's when we were having all that crappy weather and Derek was out plowing till like midnight. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm glad he's not here because I can't stop crying. Yeah. I thought she wrote that so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was glad that it was quicker.
Went quick for him. It wasn't. But then you missed his presence because he was such a little joker too.
Yeah. And
sweet kid. But, did I give away the name? Did I say
the
name?
No, you didn't say the name.
Okay, good. All right, well. Everybody knows it's coming, but.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself to cry.
I was like,
have a box of tissues.
I was like,
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I dropped a bomb on you there.
It's okay.
It
kind of made me prepare him a little more, you know.
Yeah, well, were you prepared? Maybe you didn't cry as much as I did because
I'm prepared.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
No.
What did you think about how the story ended?
I liked it without giving too much away. It's just like one of those things, again, where she wasn't really looking or expecting. And then there he was.
There he is. I loved their love story, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, just, it was just sweet, and it was forged through tough times.
Yeah.
That they battled for it. I like how everyone got a happy ending, even Townie.
Yes.
Which made me happy, because, you know, at the beginning, I was like, oh no, Townie's gonna have his heart broken. Townie. I know. I really thought she was gonna kill him off. I really did. Oh, we kind of gave that away. Sorry about that.
He did. That he didn't die.
That he didn't die.
Well, that's good.
That's a good thing. He gets his happy ending.
Something good after the last one.
Yeah. So was it different than reading this knowing 90% of it was real?
Now, looking back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a lot more interesting and more real.
Yeah. I said it really drew me in, and I just feel like deeply connected to these characters, because they're actually real people. Most of them in here are real people and went through that. I realized that she took fictional liberties to develop, you know, what was said between them, you know, and the scenes and things. But I really enjoyed it. It's amazing how well she pulled that together. So, okay. So let's look at the elements in the story. How would you rate the romance level?
I did espresso because there could have been more. Mm-hmm. There was only a couple like actual
real kissing, intimate. There's a lot of intimate conversations, I would say, but they weren't romantic. I put espresso / mocha. I do. I but he was also healing.
Yeah.
Almost the
so
whole
that
time.
Makes it hard. So.
Yeah. I loved how when, oh my gosh, did I miss that part? I think I did.
Well,
the part where they came and they went to take, maybe I didn't have that question. They went to take some of them to back to the Union prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the one was like, don't let them take me, Captain. I don't want to go, Captain. And she went to stop, Lizzie went to stop them, and two soldiers grabbed her and hauled her back. And the captain did not like them manhandling her, and he tried to get up, and then he ended up falling on the floor.
Yeah.
And then the other guy was a real jerk. But then how Sister Catherine got
steps
to
in.
Ride with him, because she told him, you're Catholic now. And she snuck her beads in there, and he... And the kid, I love that kid. He comes back at the end too, with all his nun ladies with him, you know. And but remember how he was like, "Oh, Mary, Margaret," or you know, like he was like trying to like say prayers, and she was like, "Shh, shh, just lay there." But I thought that was funny. I thought I had that in there to talk about, because I thought that was hilarious. That, anyways, okay. So then let's talk about suspense level. What do you think?
I mean, there was some suspense, never knowing when they were coming back and where Townie was. And
I put mocha.
I put a latte because I felt there was quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like never knowing when it was going to end. And
yeah.
I felt like you were kind of on the edge the whole time, just waiting what else is going to happen.
Yeah. What about the action in it?
I put a latte too.
Did you really?
Well, there was a lot of fighting, a lot of scenes with fighting and...
Yeah.
The surgeries, that's, I mean, they were.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I put espresso. I guess I could go mocha on it. I think I saw more suspense than action when I read, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But you're right, because it was always like, oh, my word, when are they coming
they were
back
moving
for
the
them?
Whole
and,
time. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something Lizzie does that has to be done in secret. And she does it multiple times. And I kept thinking,
yeah, that's the suspense. Too.
What if they get caught? You know? Mm-hmm. So what about the mystery level?
I put mocha.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the mystery around Thaddeus.
Yeah.
And finally
that's
seeing
I think
that.
Where most of mine came from. And the mystery of if Townie was going to come back.
Yes. Yeah. That was a mystery throughout. How about the drama level?
Put mocha.
Me too. Yeah. There is quite a bit of drama in there, especially when she's caught between two men.
Yeah.
One she gave her pledge to but realizes she shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And another that she's falling in love with. So there's quite a bit of drama there. What about the inspiration level?
There was a latte, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good. We talked about just a few, but there was a lot more in there too. I put a mocha / latte. So what is your overall lasso rating with this pledge by Tamara Alexander?
I put 2 just because I could have had more, like more of the after story, I guess.
It was a lot in the battle, wasn't it?
A lot in the battle. I just wanted more. I think it's why I put 2 again, just because she did a great job. And I just wanted to more of like the after, like their life after.
Yeah.
After the war.
More normal.
Yeah. I wanted to see more of the love story after the wedding, I guess. Because mm-hmm. I did keep wanting to read more. Like I read all the way.
Yeah.
I kept reading.
Yeah.
Reading. And I'm like, I want more. Like,
yeah.
Because I did read this one. I read them out of order. So I read this one last. So I was I want more.
Yeah.
But
I gave it 4 lassos, which is higher than our, like, we top out at 3 and I went over it. But I agree. I like to have more romance mm-hmm. in there, a lot more than what there was. But I think it's just the reality that this was real just made me love it so much and had mm-hmm. it really had me. I was like up late reading, constantly reading. Like it was hard for me to put the book down. So I gave it 4 out of 3 lasses.
So. I could see that. I'm surprised though, because it was a lot of blood and surgery.
It was.
And you normally don't tolerate that very well.
The history, the rich history of it. Yeah. I do love history, especially in the 1800s, especially Civil War times. Mainly because I just love President Lincoln. I miss our Lincoln Museum that used to be in Fort Wayne. Yeah. I was so sad when it closed. We went every year, once a year.
Did you?
As a family.
Aww.
We went to that. I loved it. But my dad's a big history guy, so. All right. Well, that was a great discussion. Yeah. Now we're going to move to Colors of Truth for next week. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at www.literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.